Good morning. It's Thursday, May 24th. This is a meeting of the Sylvania City Council's Economic Development Subcommittee. Present today are members of Council Hanem, Capolini, Brown, Milner, Hussman, Westfall, and Lukey, Mayor Stow, Jim Mohn, and Bill Sanford. We have two items on the agenda this morning. One is to hear an update and potentially recommendations from Mr. Mohn on the city's CRA, Community Reinvestment Area, policy. And then secondly, an update from Mr. Sanford on the downtown market study. Hopefully, we'll be able to get both those done by 9 o'clock. So that said, Jim, I'll just turn it over to you.
Sure. I passed out a chart with a couple of exhibits noting the physical territory of CRA's numbers 3 and 8. We've been kicking around for quite some time the possibility of updating our CRA districts. We have 8 CRA districts that are pre-1994, one that is post-1994. But this only applies to the older CRAs, and this particular proposal only at this stage deals with 2 CRA districts, numbers 3 and number 8. Number 8 is the only active CRA district of the old CRAs. That is our downtown territory area. Number 3 is an old CRA. It is inactive by a resolution of council back in the 90s to not accept any applications in that district, which was an action of council that was taken many, many years ago. This in part was triggered, this request was in part triggered by a request by one of the property owners in CRA number 3 to open it up and perhaps modify the existing terms to try to get it a little bit more advantageous for that property owner to invest new monies into his building there. Again, both of these districts have very simple terms for instigating it, and that is that the term is for a 6-year term and up to 100% abatement. That's 100% abatement of the increase in value of the property after the improvements are from where they were at the time the improvements were made to present. And that has had some success. I'd like to talk about CRA District number 8 and just indicate that probably nothing, very few buildings have been built in our CRA District number 8 recently that have not had some form of abatement. I would tell you that buildings like the white buildings across the street from the administration building down by the river, most of those properties were given abatement under this program.
And that was 100% for 6 years? Is that the term?
Yes.
But the 6 years is over.
Well, those are all gone. They've been gone for 5, 10 years, a long time. I think Reve had it at the time that it underwent its expansion. Most of the others had a slightly different deal because the city owned the property. And the city, as a condition of sale, added some additional requirements, and those particular requirements by contract required those property owners to to enter into an agreement with the schools to satisfy them or negotiate some type of thing that they would be comfortable with. And we may recall some of the dialogue on how that went. But aside from those properties that the city sold and permitted by agreement them to use the CRA process. We've had very, very little use of the CRAs for the 15, 16 years I've been around. And again, the philosophy on this is that we need to look at, given the times that are present with us and what we might anticipate going forward, might be substantially different than where Sylvania was back in 93, 92, when the CRAs were initially put into place. You know that we have the ability, or you should know that we have the ability to make modifications to the CRA. Only a number of times we've not really done that since this one's been put into place, but we have the ability to make changes that can affect the terms and still keep the pre-93 status. The reason for wanting to do that is it gives far more flexibility to council to be able to structure a deal. The schools under that old CRA language need to be notified, and they have the opportunity to comment, but they do not ultimately have a role in the process other than by communicating with the city. There is an exception to it, which is not, I don't need to get into a great detail at this meeting, but there's the $1 million payroll exception that when payrolls exceed $1 million under certain circumstances, the schools get some additional reimbursement from our income tax that's generated from that particular property. Those never were really applicable in the city sales because that was part of the negotiated deal with the school. So, but again, for the purposes of discussion, schools are not directly involved in our existing CRA number 8 or number 3. Under the proposal here that I've got, that will be up to City Council on a contract-by-contract basis, piece-by-piece basis. And I'd like to jump into basically what I'm proposing here and then open it up for some discussion. The 6-year 100% abatement applied to all different types of commercial use. My recommendation for us to consider is breaking it out into different classifications. And I'll just run through them. And let's take a look at this at CRA number, either number 8 or number 3. Commercial, we would grant up to 10 years. 6 years is at a minimum, up to 10 years, up to 100% abatement. What I'm trying to do here for school reimbursement and additional terms, what we're saying there is that keep the 6 years as is. If someone wants a longer abatement, and this 50% beginning in year 7 is a suggestion, it's not required, but in 7, 8, 9, and 10, they have to enter into an agreement approved by City Council. And that would require more involvement in a negotiation, looking at other CRA districts. You can get as intense as you want to. You can get into describing what the project is, reviewing the site plan, starting completion dates, construction materials, landscaping, elevation, site plan, a far more intense requirement to be able to be eligible for the increased amount of abatement going from years 6 through 10. So the change would be mandatory agreement beyond that, where the schools can be compensated in part, or if council chooses to give more, fine, or if the project would warrant less, it could be less. But I just put in school reimbursement as a possibility in the remaining number of years. Residential, CRAs require that residential property owners receive abatement. That's in part the reason for doing it, is to increase the housing stock in those territories, and that's why properties usually have to have a residential component in every district, and we'll come back to that. But we're going to go from 6 years up to 12 years, 100% abatement. This might, the residential school reimbursement, I really should put an X through that. I really don't know if getting down to negotiating school reimbursements on a single-family residential lot is a residential unit is wise, and I think we just didn't take that one out. So I might suggest that you take that out. And then a minimum remodeling cost to make it worthwhile, $3,000, and a more than a single family, $10,000. Those numbers came from other examples in other municipalities. Now we're going to go to residential more than two, and mixed use. This is, we need to look at our housing stock and decide, do we want to be encouraging new housing in our community? And if so, for that, do we want to give a longer term abatement? For discussion, we've got up to 15 years, 100% minimum remodeling costs. We can come back to that. Mixed use, similarly, this would be the examples of retail perhaps, or commercial or office, either on an upper level or a lower level, mixed in with different varying types of uses, including housing, up to 15 years, 100%, and again, beyond the 6 years, or I'm sorry, in a mixed use, enter an agreement approved by City Council. Those are the general classifications, and we can talk about those, but the purpose of it is to encourage real estate development in our community, because I just don't see a whole lot of it coming. You can think about this in terms of our SOMO district and what we might want to have flexibility to offer. So those are the zoning classifications that we have. Industrial, we put down no abatement. We really have minimal industrial areas. The closest thing is the area behind Major Magic's. We do have some maybe further out, Savannah Avenue, but I'm not sure that's what we want to encourage, and we can talk about that. The other component in it, and then I'll back off for a minute, is expanding the physical territories of the two districts. If you look at the maps, the first one should have a purple or a red line around it, and the other one is a yellow highlighted. That is our CRA number 8, that's our downtown district. And I'm proposing that we expand that territory to include two areas. One is the property to the south of Root Learning, that is the little building that's for sale next to it. I think it's owned by Mr. Kenny. It runs right down to the parking lot of St. Joe's. It's those four houses, three or four houses on the east side, as something that would either, it should be eligible. And the other one is the residential units that are to the south of the anorexic clinic running up to St. Joe's School, as being something to include. I think over time, all those properties are ripe for redevelopment and should be considered to be included. So that's an expansion area that I'd like to propose that we include. The other one, if you look to the next page, is the CRA number 3. This is where the South Pryor Shopping Center is, which is the red area, the existing one. There is a slight error in that. The actual bean factory down in this corner already is in this area right here. This little corner already is in the CRA district. But my recommendation would be to expand this entirely residential area into that CRA, offering economic incentives to redevelop that area. That's the Allen Street and other, all the other streets that are in that area. It's one of our older sections of town. So those are the expansion areas we're talking about. This might be a model to then look later on in all the other CRA districts and see what we might want to do. But that's the general proposal to revisit, expand the territories, and expand the classifications and increase the number of years. And I'll pause.
Jim, you proposed a different school reimbursement program for the commercial and the mixed use. And
we went back and forth with this, and this draft hopefully intended to cover it, but the general concept is everybody gets the same deal that we presently have, which is 6 years, 100% abatement. Anybody asking for more than that 6 years. I don't want to lose what we have as our basic old CRA. Anything beyond the 6 years is a new deal. You've got to enter an agreement with the city, a contractual agreement. In that agreement, we can require a whole bunch of stuff. And I want to be non-specific about the agreement. The facts and the circumstances of the agreement will be negotiated between the existing city council at the time and the property owner, which may or may not include reimbursement to schools or other entities. I'm suggesting we may want to put a cap of up to 50%. You could put a full reimbursement, you could put no reimbursement. But that was sort of the thought process to consider. That's the generalized approach to this. We started writing real specific things for each specific category, and it got bogged down and way too technical, and looking at what other communities have, a lot of them just have, must enter into a development agreement agreeable to the city and to the developer. And that's what I'm searching for beyond the first 6 years.
And I understand that.
Okay.
In this table, you suggest a kind of different treatment for commercial and mixed use, and I'm not.
Well, the answer
sure
is, well.
Why that would
well,
be.
The, you mean 10 years versus 15 years?
Well,
let's start with that.
Let's start with that. But I mean, mixed use involves commercial use to some extent.
Could be, yes, it should.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
It should.
I'm thinking about that wrong.
No.
Correct me. So I'm just not sure why we would treat those commercial entities.
I think we really want to encourage mixed use. That's the question. You know, we go back to what our consultants have said. Let's just talk about the downtown.
Oh, I see.
Let's just talk about the downtown.
So you're trying to create a more.
Absolutely. I want somebody to come in and be willing to invest money and time to take down or renovate or develop something that allows for housing in our downtown. A mixed-use type of thing. We were told that we wanted to bundle and get more intense housing in our downtown to add vitality to it. And to do that, this different treatment is intended, frankly, to drive someone to a greater risk to do mixed-use. Commercial. In the blandest sense, could be simply a strip center. And I'd rather give more consideration to somebody that's willing to be more innovative. You could take this same analysis to the South Pride property. If the person wanted to merely renovate the South Pride property, let's just say it were knocked down and someone wanted to just put a commercial use to it, 10 years maximum. If they wanted to do a mixed use, they'll get a longer payback. That's the honest reason for it. What are we trying to really encourage in these CRAs, 3 and 8? Not talking the city totally, 3 and 8. And if you really look at it, mixed use is something we're giving the greatest consideration for. And, frankly, multiple family, when you look at it up to 15 years. Because, again, in those areas, what do we want to do? Get more intense more people living in those areas. That's the rationale for providing that extra kick. At 6 years, I don't know how many people are willing to try to put in a nice six-family or eight-family unit somewhere in our area. But they might be willing to do it if they get a longer payback. That's the rationale.
Yeah, Doug, could I just interrupt, because while Jim's talking about that, the piece that I didn't hear you talk about, and I kind of thought that's where Doug was going, but maybe not, is I understand everything you said. The only piece that I didn't hear you say was the school reimbursement piece.
Right. That we can't change that.
No. Well, let me finish. You have a 50% school reimbursement for commercial beginning in year 7.
Yep.
I think that's prudent, appropriate.
Yep.
But you don't extend that to mixed use.
Yep.
Why is that?
Well, in part, number one, I want to give more flexibility. Truly, by reading this, I give a larger incentive to the mixed use and multifamily in those areas. Doesn't mean you can't require. Council could, if they chose to, require a 50% reimbursement at year 7 or year 10 or whatever they want to do. You can do it, but you're not required to.
Or we could require 100%.
Yeah.
And that's schools are 53% of our real estate taxes?
It might be more than half.
I think
if you checked it, that's right. It's the majority.
I know it surpassed the 50% mark a while back.
Yeah, you're going to have to do an arm wrestling on this. Anybody that wants more than 6 years that they presently get, there's going to be an arm wrestling between city council members and the developer over what they feel they need to make this project viable. And then city council can elect how to take care of the schools. The first two, commercial, strip center, they got to begin reimbursing at 50% beginning in the last several years. But the rest of them, you've got some flexibility to do it. Who's to know whether or not we're going to have a vibrant, growing, exploding Sylvania 10 years from now when somebody comes in, or a really stagnant one that needs that extra kick. And that just gives us the flexibility.
And another question I had, did you think about expanding CRA number 3 south along Allen Street all the way to the front? If you look at that picture, if you were to wrap it around,
Well, you're right.
That neighborhood,
that whole area probably could use it. Take it all the way down to Brick.
That's what I was wondering.
And maybe it was it might be a different subdivision, which is why I did it this way. But you're right. I think that there's some rationale to do that.
Jim, similarly, was there any thought given to extending CRA 8 down? For sure, the west side of Main Street all the way to Brent.
Part of that's going to sweep right through number 3.
Is that right?
Because CRA number 3 is
okay.
There. Well, CRA number 3 is software.
He wants to take it down.
There seems to be a gap.
There is a gap.
North of the convent. North, I mean, of Convent.
The properties that are in there, those apartment buildings south of St. Joe's.
Yeah.
And then that daycare now that was in the vet's office building before.
Yeah, but then there's some residential.
There is some residential there.
And I guess I specifically asked it because when we took our tour with Ted Ligabell, he identified that there were several of the homes there that were wonderful historic homes that probably ought to be on Main Street. And it would seem to me that at some point in the future, you may want to entertain a developer who would want to move those historical houses and redevelop it. And so I think maybe we're leaving an opportunity on the table if we don't put it in one of the CRA districts.
I'm certainly not opposed at all about expanding the districts. My idea was to start expanding it. And you could either expand number 3 to include that, or number 8.
Uh-huh.
you could do it on both sides of Main Street. I like the idea of council considering expanding this type of development opportunity to larger sections of our town.
And it's reasonably likely that that area is not going to be developed into heavy commercial, for sure. It may be mixed use, that would be ideal. So is it more appropriate to go into three at that point, or does it matter?
I have to think about it, but to me, certainly three, taking three down to include all of the Allen Street property, all the way down to Brent and Main, and just expand that whole envelope would be a good choice. The idea of the apartments south of St. Joe's, I just hadn't thought about.
I'm more comfortable expanding up from South Briar to get to St. Joe's. You don't need to put St. Joe's in it.
The character, no, not St. Joe's.
No, but that's
the
all
character of here. That neighborhood seems more consistent than it does with eight.
Yep, I agree.
I'm thrilled to talk about expanding it, frankly. I think that's good. And the whole purpose is we go back to what we learned early on, is that, we don't have a lot of places in our community to build new homes on vacant land. And people are going to, if we're going to want to encourage people to develop in our community, I think we have to give them, or consider giving them, some incentives that we can deliver on, and this is one way of doing that.
Are there any other comments?
I have a question on the one along Railroad Street, the expansion there.
Yes.
Is right up against Lord's. Now, would this apply to Lord's if they were to go in there and buy all that property? Because there's those apartments in there along Railroad Street, that are...
Well, let's just say Lord's chose to expand someday into that territory. And it was to be used for a school purpose, university purpose. At some point, they wouldn't be paying taxes anyway. So it really would be for the private individual or enterprise that wanted to do something there, or the homeowner that wanted to do that.
What if they decided to put student housing in there? Would that qualify?
Student housing would be a permitted. It's a use that would be exempt as well. So this would neither specifically help nor hurt the university. I think it's university neutral on that basis.
Except you're talking about taxes.
They're taxes, yeah.
The only exception might be what many universities are doing now, which is not building these things on their own, but using a private developer to build student housing. That developer would be subject to the benefits of the CRA, yes.
That'd be correct.
Not unlike what University of Toledo has done on the...
Westwood?
Yeah.
That'd be correct. But again, all that ultimately still has to run back through city council, because that's a zoning change, that's a whole bunch of other issues. And again, if anybody chose to take advantage of this, that's when you're going to have your development agreement put together that will have all the specifics about what could go there and how that would unfold. But yeah, that would not apply to a private developer.
So I have a question. If those houses down on Allen Street, if somebody was going to spend more than, you have $3,000 on a remodel, mm-hmm. that could include them? I mean, if I want to put a $30,000 addition on my house on Allen Street, I could get a...
The answer to that is correct. And the purpose, and again, community reinvestment area is designed specifically, and it has to have some housing in it. You have to take pictures. When we expanded CRA number 9, which is the one on Holland Savannah going out, we had to go out and take a picture of every house to show its condition to qualify. This is not specifically for the purposes of doing commercial or industrial development. You've got to do something for the whole community, and so you have to have something available for those homeowners.
So
the abatement's on the value of the improvement, not the whole, not the underlying value, is that right?
That's true.
So it's not the whole property, it's just the value of the improvement.
So taking this to the next step, are we going to make all these residents on Allen Street aware that if they...
Sure, yeah. But you know what, Katie, that raises a question that I don't know that I was necessarily prepared to share, but it seems to me that, I mean, in my thinking, if we're going to do this in that area, and especially as we've redefined it up Main Street, at some point, the Economic Development Subcommittee ought to think about some sort of planning for that area that maybe preempts it just being remodeled willy-nilly by individual property owners. I think, I mean, clearly we want to preserve property owner rights. That's not my point. But, you know, do we have a thought about how that part of our community might best be developed, you know, for the highest and best use? We heard Ted Ligabell talk about the fact that there are some very important historic homes in there interspersed with housing stock that's just old, right? And so if we really wanted to be as progressive as I think we've been, as innovative, I'm sorry, as we've been with SOMO, we might at some point want to have a conversation around the table here about how that neighborhood can take full advantage of the university and the city and the recreational opportunities and turn it into something that, again, creates high value 15 or 20 years down the road.
So somebody can put an addition on that looks, I mean, there's all kinds of additions. There's the really bad ones.
Yeah.
And they're charming ones.
Yeah, so and so... I'm a big believer in a carrot, not a stick, right, with anything like this. And if we can encourage them to look towards some sort of a end use that might be helpful to us. We've got a lot on our plate right now, and I'm not sure this is the time to even be thinking about something like that, but, you know, I think you're concerned about somebody just doing a remodel.
All of a sudden it sounds really complicated. You have to have some kind of, you know, somebody brings in a plan and then you just say, oh, I don't like it. I mean, you have to have some kind of...
No, sure. I've said this here before. I used to be on the Historic Commission in North Toledo, and it was heartbreaking to see that the city of Toledo built so many rules into what people needed to do in remodels that folks who wanted to legitimately fix up their house for $3,000 were not approved because it didn't fit what I considered to be burdensome restrictions on the neighborhood. I don't think Sylvania ever wants to go there. But I think at the same time, we want to give folks a vision for how they might do remodel that will at some point be consistent with a higher value neighborhood.
The other advantage that I see to this expansion is that it's going to could potentially discourage investors buying these properties strictly for student housing stock.
Right.
And I'm not sure, I think it's probably in the best interest of our community that these continue to be owner-occupied single-family homes as opposed to becoming rental properties. Mm-hmm. As the community continues to grow. I also agree with Mr. Hanum's comment that I think it would be prudent to look further down, and I understand what Mr. Moan did just with this one subdivision, but as I look at this map, I think that we could sweep more in there too.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if anybody else remembers a conversation we had at one of Dr. Helmer's legislative breakfasts, you know, where we had folks in, and, you know, we talked briefly at one of those about how it might be helpful to the university and the city to encourage housing for younger faculty members, you know, who are coming to Toledo to work at Lourdes and who need a place to live. I think Dr. Helmer's point was very few of these people end up living in Sylvania, you know, and that's maybe because there's just not a place that is appealing to them, you know. So that kind of thing, Todd, instead of student housing, might be exactly what our economic future would benefit from, you know.
That's exactly where I'm working on my master's degree. That's what they've done. They have bought houses around the seminary that the professors can in turn rent.
And are they charming or do they look like rent?
Oh, no, beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah, you know, you'd like to think that a university faculty person likes something that's aesthetically pleasing, you know, and just like we've heard from our other consultants, you know, people want to walk to the coffee shop, but have a walkable neighborhood. I think that's, that could become something very much like that.
One of the things to consider or keep in mind is that we can't legislate that area through CRA terms. There may be more issues that you're talking about that would be handled in more of a zoning manner or whatever. So I understand the discussion, but what's nice about this is that we're considering actually doing something that will encourage people to make these investments. The practical answer to a resident turning around and putting an improvement into their property and trying to then get a CRA abatement for taxes is that unless it's a significant addition, it's probably not going to change the value of the property, and there's going to be no really tax advantage to doing it. It's got to be significant, and I think that in most cases, it'll be minimal use of that by single-family residences in that area. Again, you've got to make it available. It's a requirement of the code, and it should be there for those folks that would want to do it. But I don't think we can legislate through a CRA the types of, more intensely, the types of designs and so on.
But I think what Mark's point is, if we're going to expand the CRA and promote the development, we need to be thinking about the zoning changes.
So you can't do it through the CRA.
It's a tool. Yeah. I think where it belongs is in the Zoning and Annexation Committee to think about the zoning, to think about how it can be consistent with the land use plan. The CRA piece is sort of a servant to that bigger vision.
Or it could be guidelines. You offer guidelines, and if they follow our guidelines, then you say, okay, great, we would love to give you the CRA, but if they don't want to follow our guidelines, then
this is the time to set guidelines if you wish. We have guidelines if you want a larger carrot. Because I was unprepared to talk about residential guidelines to get something, but...
Well, there should be guidelines for both now that, loose guidelines, to give people an idea of what we want so they're not just stabbing in the dark and thinking, I hope they like it.
You run into the situation of an old West End that to be able to get a $20,000 aluminum siding and window replacement on your place, that you've got to follow specific guidelines and who controls those guidelines. Again, what you then would have to do is just amend this to say anybody that wants a CRA has to enter into a comprehensive agreement with the city. And I think that becomes a little burdensome at some stage to make that work.
Could we shift gears for a minute? The one thing that I want to not I want to make sure that we say is that I think as we develop this plan, Jim, I think this is very, very well done. I mean, I think it reflects some of the input that you've gotten from council. I think there may be some tweaks, but I like the fundamental concept of it. But at some point, maybe after we have another conversation at the committee level about it, I think we need to share the concept of this with our friends at the school district. Right, we don't want them to hear about it by reading the paper. And I'm not suggesting that we ask their permission, but I think a conversation with the treasurer and the superintendent, maybe the president of the board, just to make them aware that this is where we're headed and that we believe that it is the best way to create a long-term additional tax value for the school district, which I think it does, right? Because after an initial investment of no taxes on their part, they'll get half for a while, but then theoretically the projects that we develop will create substantially greater tax revenue for them, and that's what they should be thinking about, right? How they're going to pay for schools 20 years from now.
Right.
So we need to make a note on our calendar that as soon as we get this a little bit more fully baked, we should go talk with them. And probably now that we are having the conversation about CRA number 3, we should share it with somebody at Lourdes too, just to make them aware about it.
In a perfect world, I would love to come out of this meeting with a buy-in on let's talk about the abatement terms. Because then we can start, you know, turning up the skillet to get the rest of it baked, as you say. And again, the 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and no abatement. Can we, you know, those we thought a lot about. And again, going from 6 to a larger term, the state code provides for up to 15 years for any use. Most of the communities that we've looked at, commercial goes up to 10. So that's pretty standard. I want to say I'm creating this out of thin air. You know, some go, you know, industrial, most people have an industrial in there. Some of them have absolutely none. Some don't give for commercial, only for, you know, so various different uses. I would like to make sure we have buy-in that, given for these two areas, that multiple family can, in a mixed-use component in that area, is something we want to support. And you do that through the tax incentive. It gets a little bit more, I have to think again, if you're going to be talking about that larger area of Allen all the way down to Brent, if we give that full abatement for multiple family, is that what we want in that area or not? And I haven't really quite thought that. I want to rethink that one, but I think we do. But clearly in our downtown area, I think to the extent that somebody wants to increase housing, that'd be consistent with what our consultant said.
Mm-hmm. Jim, do you have, from looking at these other communities, do you have any idea what a percentage of the properties might use the CRA, might take advantage of it?
I think at the end of the day, very few do. Perrysburg hired a consulting firm and spent a lot of money getting somebody to get this stuff done. And then they've implemented it, but I don't think that most people use it. The economy also drives this as well. And nothing's going on anywhere right now.
So I guess we shouldn't get all concerned about, because in the big scheme of things, we're probably talking about a small percentage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's one more tool in Bill's toolbox as right. He goes out and works with prospects, you know. And I think they ask, I'm sure, from time to time, Bill, and we need to be able to answer them. Let me, just in the interest of time, unless there's some other significant conversation about this, we may want to have one more discussion to kind of finalize it, but is there a sense of the committee that Jim is on the right track with this?
I think so, absolutely. Yeah. That'd
all right.
Work here.
What do you need more than that, Jim, at this
well,
point?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. We need to vet this a little bit with some of the schools, Lords, maybe even at some point, the community that we're talking about expanding mm-hmm. into, so sure. They have some idea of what that might be. But I can rough it up. Once we have an idea of going with modifying these CRAs, I think the last one, the only one we really did was new, it took about 5 months
yeah.
to get it together because it
yeah.
requires a fair amount of work, and it used to be a submission to the Department of Development, who either exists now or doesn't. And but there's a process to do it, and we sort of understand it, but it's not something that's going to happen right now. Even if we were to work this through, January 1 would be about the
yeah.
first week.
And I think we want to be particularly responsive to our Allen Street neighborhood now, in particularly in light of some of the other zoning issues that we're looking at, and make sure that they're comfortable with where we're headed, and Main Street. But are we at a point where we want to call up Brad and talk with him?
You know, hearing the response and the non-responses for what we proposed, I think it's probably appropriate to do that now, mm-hmm. while we're still in the formative stage. Mm-hmm. The length of time, have a dialogue. They can check with, you know, other school districts and see how they've had these things applied in the past. And I think sooner rather than later makes sense to me.
Okay.
Jim, let me, I know we've talked about community, CRAs 3 and 8.
Yes.
Okay, we have 8 of them?
Nine
of them.
I've got others I can expand and do some other things with, but just because 8 is so important because of SOMO,
right.
And 3 is one where we've got someone asking what more can be done. That's why I chose these two first as sort of the guinea pigs, but there are 2 or 3 others that I think would be appropriate to look at.
I assume we have one along Alexis.
Well, we do. We have one in the industrial section behind Major Magic's, which probably is in need of something that would allow that to occur. But that's for some specific reasons. I didn't put those together yet. These two, I think, we're quick to go with.
I guess the thing.
Once we do this, we need to do the other ones rather quickly as well, because it would be a big disparity.
But we haven't, this is a big change to open these up.
That's
from,
correct.
From what we have been, from what our approach has been. And I want to encourage development on the same side. If we really did have 9 active CRAs, we would have, wouldn't we, you know, what does that mean to us from a revenue exposure standpoint? I'm not asking, I don't expect you to know the answer, I'm just throwing the question out that I just wonder whether that would be an issue or not.
You know, again, back in the 90s, Sylvania was the sweet spot. It was rapidly growing and lots of stuff happening and people wanted to be here. Money was easy, and so, you know, I think city council at that time just felt that we needed to create them to preserve this special treatment because the law was going to be changed. So we did all these, but then they just shut them down because they weren't a tool that was going to be used very much. Now I think it's something that
it's
we
a new
really...
Generation.
It's a different generation.
Are you concerned about the city losing revenue? Is
well,
that
I'm,
your question
I'm just trying to understand what the impact might be.
Again, there's no abatement on the underlying value, so it's only the increase that you're not getting, but you're encouraging the increase and you get it eventually.
I understand.
Okay.
So, you know, Doug mentioned Alexis. I think another area that is we want to make sure we have some CRA opportunities for is Monroe Street between Starlight and where the old Capital Bank building is, the current medical building.
Capital Bank, by the way, is in a CRA.
Okay, but I'm concerned about that area that clearly is underdeveloped between here and there, you know?
I would encourage us to look at our own website because somewhere in there there's a way to find our CRA districts and look at them and sort of see where they're at. We might have passed it out at one point. And I'm thrilled that we're talking about more than these, but I wanted to use these as sort of the ones to focus on why we want to give these types of classifications, those types of abatement charges.
Would it be prudent that we do unveil them all at one time as opposed to piecemealing it? Do all the work and do them all at one time?
I think it could bog us down a bit. I think that the work that we're doing here, once you've set the framework, can be done fairly rapidly afterwards.
On the others?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we should be mindful of the fact that we have a safety committee meeting scheduled for 9 this morning. So unless there is any other comment about the CRA piece, let's make 2 steps. One for all members of the committee of council to review this a little further and provide additional input to Mr. Mullen. We'll try to schedule a meeting with the school district to discuss this with the treasurer and the superintendent. And let's try to convene a meeting maybe 2 weeks out, Jim, 2-3 weeks out, and kind of maybe put a final touch on this.
Great.
Right. Thank you. Good work. Bill, do you want to talk for about 10 minutes or less on the downtown plan?
Yes, Mark, and it shouldn't take that long unless we have some questions. The downtown marketing plan, if you remember, Sharon came in and gave us the, and it was in the draft form. It's now ready to be in its final form, and I wanted to distribute that with some comments, so I can just get that out to you. A component of it, if you remember, we were encouraging people to participate in, there were 2 surveys that were associated with that. The results are complete from that, and I think you should have, and that info and look at it. It's some pretty interesting information that there was a shopper survey and a business survey. So I want to get that to you, and again with some comments that'll go with it. Again, that was more suggestions, and there were some things in that about some zoning and different things that we can do. And again, it was and types of businesses we wanted to attract downtown, and that's the. And again, it's now ready, and I just wanted, we can just get that out to you without any kind of a formal presentation. Look at it, see if there's questions, and we can talk again. The bigger issue I wanted to bring up is that our downtown plan that's been in over a year now and the works is about complete. And Mark, I'm wondering, is the way to present that similar, I think, to how we did the market downtown marketing plan with Sharon, have Danielle Steinhauser from Pogomar come in and say, here it is, this is what we've been working on over a year, it's in its final state, present it, you get it to in your hands ahead of time, and then you'd have questions and after she did her presentation. I'm just wondering, it's probably to this committee should have make that presentation. Mm-hmm. Then the marketing plan could also be touched on, because that is a part of the overall downtown plan.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I'd like to, as we did with the other presentation, turn that more into a community meeting as well, so that we can have our stakeholders come in and hear what we have for them. I need to always turn to my retail expert, Katie. What is the best time of day for the retailers? End of day, beginning of day?
I think for the business owners, it's early. It's before, I mean, I think the stores open at 10 or probably 8 is the best time for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they close at different times. And
so we would maybe be looking at a morning meeting, an 8 o'clock meeting, sometime the week of the 18th or the 25th of June. Does that sound okay for people?
Yeah, I would prefer the week of the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
First one.
Well, okay.
I will not be here the week of the 18th.
Well, look, how urgent is this, Bill?
It's just going to be complete, so yeah, there's nothing that I'm on any
We could push
board.
It in July, I suppose. That's the 4th of July week. I don't know if people are here for that.
What about the first week of June? Is that, or the second week of?
That's going to be hard for me. Although, wait a minute, what about now, it's Flag Day on the 14th, and I don't know if people are getting the day off for that or not.
But, I'm out of town that week.
Huh?
I'm out of town the 12th through the 15th.
Well then, okay.
How about the 11th? No.
I'm not a big Monday morning, 8 o'clock city council activity guy.
We could do it late evening-ish. Like,
say again.
We could do it late evening-ish, like 7 or something like that.
You know,
I tend to think
that kind of an approach actually generates more regular tax-paying people. You know,
okay.
who have to go to work and have to have dinner, as we heard the other night,
right.
And want to come in.
I agree with that. I think
so. We'll do it late-ish.
So 7 o'clock. I could do it the week. Any number of nights, the weeks of the 11th, 18th, or 25th. Are we saying the week of the 11th is best? Because people are going to be gone.
The 11th would be great.
The 11th.
Monday night, the 11th. Mr. Sanford, could you check with our consultant?
And it would be 7?
7, sure.
Sure, I will check that. And I agree. I think that might work well for the downtown folks, as well as just the general population. If again, the store owners, if they're aware, give them some advance, they can make arrangements to make sure that most are not open at 7 p.m.
So some Monday them, night, June 11th at 7 here.
Yeah, and some of them are even closed on Monday.
Right, so let's...
And how are we going to invite to this? Are we going to specifically...
The whole city.
What I would envision for specifically is to invite our downtown stakeholders,
yeah.
Right, and us, and then promote it through our normal website channels and so on.
And
the CIC.
Like an official email to the CIC and mm-hmm. the Arts Commission and the downtown, like all of our boards and commissions, if they got a specific,
right. You can do that.
The chamber, if all of those people got a specific email, that
yeah,
would be a good
thing. I think that's right. And then you would get us a final version of this ahead of that, right?
Correct.
To take a look at.
Correct. And this would basically be a public presentation of,
yeah,
of our downtown plan.
Yeah. I'll make sure our friends in the media are informed.
Yes.
Oh, I guess they are. Okay, Bill, good. That's
great.
Good. Thank
okay,
you.
Thank you.
You'll confirm that with us?
We will. I'll get back to you to confirm the date, make sure that'll work.
Okay. Do we have, let's do this, though. Do we have a second Plan B date in case Danielle can't make it that night?
I hope the week of the 25th would be my best.
You don't, you're not available Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that week?
No. He's not available that
week. The week of the 11th?
No, that week is...
Okay. Well, then, let's try for the 11th, and if not, we'll talk about it more on the 4th.
Very good.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Anything else for the committee?
No, I'm leaving the recording device on. We're going to slide into the next meeting.
I am going to say that we're adjourned at 8:57 and turn it over to Mary.